Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show. And I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Well, welcome again for tonight, and I'm so excited. We will have again amazing guests for tonight. And guess what? My guest for tonight is a miracle alchemist, and we will talk about that on the 8th day. And I'm sure everybody is questioning, what the hell does that mean? I will just give you a little bit of crumb here. It is about the revolution of the spirit. But what I will do for that is I will not be able to explain this to you. So this is why I have my amazing guest, Cheryl Goodrich. Good evening, Cheryl.
Good evening. How are you, Magdalena?
I'm doing awesome. Listen, I'm so excited. We have such amazing topic tonight. This is why I was kind of teasing our listener for the things for the topic on the 8th day, what the hell that means. But Cheryl, just give me a second. Let me just let our listener know, if they wanted to call in and if they have questions for you, please call in 1-888-627-6008. Again, 1-888-627-6008. Okay, Cheryl, well, listen, we wanted to know about your journey. How did you get where you are today, or where you started? So what was the journey about?
Okay, my journey is about it's about a plan. I'm a student of A Course in Miracles, and when I was studying the course, it continually talks about a plan for the salvation of the world. And as I began to question other people who were course students as well, I asked them what this plan was, and nobody seemed to know, or they said, really, there is no plan. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so there's a plan in the course, but there is no plan. So I began to ask. I said, you know, I ask this higher aspect of myself, what is the plan? You know, what is this plan for the salvation of the world? And lo and behold, information began to pour into me. But the information that came to me was not forthright. In other words, it just did not present itself. Immediately, it had presented itself over a course of time, and during that time,
how long did that take you to get that?
Probably about 25 to 30 years.
Thank you. It's a journey, exactly.
Yeah,
thank
it was
you.
A journey. Yeah, and during the time that I was, you know, trying to understand what I was learning, because I think the universe, obviously, the universe works on its own terms. It doesn't work according to the terms or the ideas that we place in the universe mind, because reality or the universe doesn't need our help. We need the help
of
the
universe. I so agree with that.
So, thank you. So, what I did was I began to understand where the blocks were in my own mind, and the way I began to understand this was I'm a massage therapist, I was a practicing massage therapist, and I began to question my clients about their pain and where it was coming from, and I began to associate color with their pain, and I'm also a hypnotherapist, so I began to question their inner mind about this color that was associated with their pain, and lo and behold, there was a link that connected the color that was going on with the pain and also an age, a specific or a particular age that was going on, or that occurred when they were that specific age, that color occurred then. And so what I began to do was understand was that that color was locked into the body. So I began to understand as well that color has two different meanings from a lower level and from a higher level. From a body level, the color is very dark. It's covered by darkness. At a higher level, it has no darkness attached to it, so that it comes through pure and wholeness. But at a lower level, when it's trapped in the body, it is fragmented. So, you know, that with that, I began to explore my own experiences and something that happened to me when I was 4 years old, that actually I did not even begin to understand the implications of that until I reached my 60s. Or no, excuse me, that wasn't my 60s. It was in my 40s when I began to understand the implications of that. But it really did not, I really was not able to clear it all until I was in my 60s. So to get back to the Course in Miracles, I was, I thought when I read the Course that I actually, that I understood what the Course was saying. But what I, finally what I did was, because what I was doing was I was reading the Course and I was trying to apply it in my life, but it was not, but nothing was working. So I thought, okay, this isn't working, so obviously I'm doing something wrong. So the only, mm-hmm. I set it all aside. I said, okay, the only thing I know for sure about the Course in Miracles is there's a statement that says, peace is the state where love abides and seeks to share itself. Okay, so I understand that, but the rest of it I'm going to throw all away, and I'm going to allow something else to come through and deliver the information that needs to be delivered to me. And so what I began to understand was that I was working with living words, and living words will define themselves if you don't put your own interpretation on them. And basically what we do is we have learned to analyze what we hear and what we read based on our past experiences. And because there is a fragment of truth in everything, if we don't lay our own interpretation on it, something will come in, interpret to us what something means rather than us trying to figure out what it means. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I am following you.
Okay.
Hope everybody else is following, can follow.
Okay. So anyway, I mean, it's pretty simple. What I did was I would read a sentence in the Course in Miracles, and I would look at it, and I would read it again, and I would look at it, and I would go, I don't understand what this means. And so I would put the book down, and about a period of time later, all of a sudden it went, poof, all of this information came pouring in about what this sentence meant. It was like, oh, so if I didn't place my own understanding on it, another understanding would come in and say, this is what this means. So what I have learned is that it's also, this is also true of the Bible, because we have theologists and we have people who, religion and other people who read the Bible and say, this is what this means and this is what this means. If we don't place our own value on it, or because value from a higher perspective means understanding. If we don't place our own understanding or our own value on what we are reading, another interpretation or another a higher understanding or a higher value will come in and say, this is what this means. So I began to, of course, you know, because old patterns are hard to break and we are really under the dictates of the ego. So, you know, the ego wants to say, this is what this means, this is what this means, and this is what this means. So, you know, eventually it came around to understanding that what we have done is we have placed the ego body first in time. And what was explained to me was that in the beginning, or during the separation, what happened was we made a decision, or our forefathers or the innocents who were at the foundation of the world made a decision to move into a body and accept the body as being first in time rather than the spirit. And when they did that, they lost the connection to the living language that is, that moves, that is a living flow between heaven and earth. And
Cheryl, can I ask her a question? What is the time reference to that?
The time reference to what?
How long ago did that happen? Can we say?
You know, I don't, you know, the Bible
you didn't
speaks
go
of
in there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Bible speaks of it in days, you know, okay, so okay. That, you know, it was at the beginning of the seventh day. Now, I do understand this, that according to what happened at the time of the great flood in Noah's day,
Okay, I see. Okay, gotcha.
Was that, well, this, you know, the error actually occurred before this error, this before the Great Flood. The error happened probably thousands of years before the Great Flood, because if you look in the Bible, it talks about the chronology of man. And you know, like Noah lived, or Methuselah lived to be this age, Adam lived to be this age, and so on and so on and so on. So, you know, it was probably thousands of years before the Great Flood occurred. But what the Great Flood did was that it transported us across the timeline of the Spirit, where the Spirit was originally engaged with the body, and moved us onto a linear timeline. Now, that's really difficult to accept, except that we are in an age today where they are talking about technologically completely eliminating old world time and attaching to virtual time. And if that occurs,
So we are talking about transhumanism, AI.
if we can do it, so can the universe. So, you know, what we did was we ended up on a linear timeline. And this linear timeline was about the evolution of the body. So during the time of the flood, what happened was a whole, the physical history of the world was written in order to write in the error of the transgression that occurred in the beginning. And when that happened, there was really no evidence until we ended up on the linear timeline, and all that evidence is occurring on the linear timeline in real time, which is a spiral. It is not on that spiral timeline, but on the linear timeline where the ego body has been placed first in time.
So, could you actually explain to us a little more what time and timeline, actually timelines, what they actually represent?
A timeline, the linear timeline. The linear timeline.
Because there's so much talk right now about, we are shifting so many, different timelines, or different timelines are interfering and stuff. So this is why I was just trying to kind of, help our listeners who are not familiar with that, so they can kind of get a grasp what we are meaning with that.
Oh, sure, I understand. Even though we have placed the body first in time, you know, we also have access to that higher timeline. The real timeline is a spiral. The actual real time is a spiral. It is not a it is not a line. It's
Line.
not, it's like the Earth.
Yes.
Earth is a circle. If you look at the universe, the way it moves in a circle. Everything in nature moves in a circle. It doesn't move across a line. The only thing that's moving across a linear timeline is us. And a linear timeline has a beginning and it has an end. And the beginning of that linear timeline began with the evolution, or when man, after the Great Flood, when the evolution of man, the evidence was planted for of the evolution of man. And so 6,000 years into this is where we are now. I would like to say also that every 2,000 years since the Great Flood, a major spiritual event occurs. 2,000 years after the flood, Noah received the law. 2,000 years after that, the Christ was born. Now, there was a lot of, you know, misconception or misunderstanding about, you know, what the purpose of the Christ was for. You know, like he died for our sins on the cross and things like that. Now, you know, the way it has been explained to me is that Christ was the first human that was born of a woman that came into the earth that did not lose his innocence. And so, because he did not lose his innocence, what the Bible says is that he poured himself out even until the death, his death. So my question was, what was he pouring himself, what was he pouring out? And the answer came back, he was pouring out his innocence. So he was like pouring his innocent seed into this earth or into the mankind or into the mind of man to prevent that time from being destroyed. The Bible also says that when time was full, God sent his son. So in order to prevent time from ending at that time, God sent his son in order to prevent the timeline from ending, and that gave us 2,000 more years. And we are now at the end of another 2,000-year cycle. So it's like 2,000 years, 2,000 years, 2,000 years, and we are now at the end of a 6,000-year cycle, which is, as the Bible defines, the end of days. So at the end of this cycle, what we are doing is we are relearning to consciously place the spirit first in time. Now, there is a lot of Bible prophecy and a lot of prophecy that goes along with this, and it would, you know, it would take up a lot of time in order to explain this. I'm hopefully touching on some things that, you know, that might be interesting to the listeners so that they can, and I don't expect
research for themselves further down the road.
Exactly. I don't expect anybody to say, well, you know, well, she said this, so it must be true. I would say this is that examine the evidence for yourself and go within and ask your inner teacher if what, you know, if any of the information that I am saying is true or if any of it sounds, because truth has a sound to it. It has a specific ring. It has a specific feeling that resonates within. So I would ask anybody if this resonates with them. If it doesn't resonate with them, then this
let
might
it
not
go.
Be. Yeah, let it go. This might not be. I'm just saying my experience, and this is the information that I was given. Now, the idea behind the spirit first in time, presenting or moving the spirit so it is first in time, is that we are from a body perspective, we are limited. We are limited in everything, in our abundance, in our health, in our happiness. If we are limited in our peace, we are limited in so many different ways that if our spirit was placed first in time, all of those limitations would be taken off the table. The body would still be protected by the spirit, but the body does not have enough integrity to protect the spirit because it does not know how. Besides that, it is ego-based, which comes from the evolution of the body, which is what did not come from the spirit at all. So what we are doing is because the body evolves, but the spirit revolves. So the spirit.
Well, the spirit, Cheryl, the spirit still needs the body, you know, to be able to exist in the physical form.
Oh, sure, absolutely. But the problem is that we're trying to protect the spirit with the body, which we can't do.
Yeah, so, yeah. So practically, there has to be a harmony or cooperation between the spirit and the body.
Exactly. There has to be, and the spirit has to be placed first in time. You know, it's like we are.
Spirit should be in charge.
Yes, we are like 6 degrees of separation away from understanding our unlimited potential. That 6 degrees of separation are the 6 questions of who, what, when, where, why, and how. And the problem is we will get hung up on one question, like who's going to help me? And so we go searching around for who's going to help me with this question that I have, or mm-hmm. who's going to help me to establish my success, who's going to help me establish my abundance, you know, and the list goes on. And then we go to the next question, what? By the time we get to what or who, what, when, you know, we've given up. Basically, we've given up, and we never reach that unlimited potential through doing. So by placing the spirit first in time, what happens is all of those 6 degrees of separation, which involves the questions of who, what, when, where, why, and how, are completely eliminated, and there's just one question, and one question, and one solution. The one question.
So what's the question?
What do I want to come of this, and what is it for? And basically, those are the same questions. What do I want to come of this? And what is it for? So, So if I ask a question, what do I want to come of this? Say, for instance, I want to build up my business. I want to be recognized for understanding this plan of one wholeness now. That's a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's what I want. That's what I want in my life. What do I want to come of this? That's what I want. What is it for? And both questions answer the same thing. So therefore, they are one and the same. Say, for instance, you could do this with health as well. People say, I don't want to be sick. The thing about it is that when you say you don't want to be sick, you're saying what you don't want instead of what you do want. What you do want is, I want my health. So what do you want to come of this? I want my health. What is it for? I want to establish my health or reestablish my health. They're both the same questions.
Okay.
But most
okay.
people want to know, what can I, you know, I'm going to figure out, I'm going to go to the doctor, I'm going to take chemotherapy, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do meditation, you know, instead of asking the two questions, what do I want to come of this and what is it for? Two questions that answer the same thing. So once we come to that point where we need to ask, because the universe does not move backwards, it only moves forwards. It's always in the same place in time, and it doesn't move backwards. We move backwards in time because we say, I don't want this, because we learned something in the past that we didn't want. So we keep returning to what we don't want. Until we go return to what we don't want and go, okay, if I redefine this and change my perception about what I don't want or what I learned I didn't want in the past and eliminate that and use it from a whole new perspective so that I can move into what I do want, then that is removed, completely and totally removed from my mind. Now, that's what I learned when I was doing massage therapy, was asking the question, what is it in your mind that is preventing you from moving forward in your quest for whatever it is you want, or removing the pain from your body? What is that pain in your body that is preventing you from reaching what you want in your life? Because whenever we have pain, that's what we don't want. So what we try to do is we try to fix it. So, you know.
But you know what is interesting? That is very difficult for most people to do it. Because they are not used to ask questions that will propel them forward.
Yes, yes. Why do you think that is, Magdalena?
Well, it's actually, you know, because it's number one, people are not taught that way, you know, because we are stuck in their old pattern. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, as you're talking about, we are not connected to the spirit.
Yes, yeah. And I think that, you know, like, as soon as we disconnect from the spirit, and most of the time, you know, like, science tells us or psychology tells us that the majority of our learning occurs before we're 5 years old. So
yes.
Most of our patterns are formed
in the programming.
Yes. Most of our patterns are formed before we're 5 years old. Because most of our patterns are formed before we're 5 years old, nobody looks before 5 years old to try to figure out the things that they were taught or the things that they accepted as real that are still interfering in their life today.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that you're mentioning that, because, you know, children, you know, in the first 18 months, we are developing our Aries energy. And then after the Aries energy, after 18 months, we are developing our Taurus energy, what I want. Okay, and that's where the heavy programming comes into us. We are talking about right now by the age 5.
Yes, yes, yeah. And it, most children before the age of 5 do not have. I mean, you wouldn't place a child, a 5-year-old child, in charge of choosing a logical choice for you as an adult. Yet that's what we're doing. Because most of the decisions that we make, or many of the decisions that we make, are made before we're 5, and they affect our entire life.
Absolutely.
They just go on and on and on. And if you say, well, let's go back and take a look at that, people don't want to look at that because they will think that that has absolutely nothing to do with what is going on today. And they also do
and
not.
Also, Cheryl, it could be very painful that people don't want to go back and get in touch with their pain.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Magdalena. And also, you got the ego factor in there. The ego factor says,
oh, that's a whole different story.
that's the whole different story. Don't go there. Don't go there. Yeah.
Yes. Also, I just wanted to kind of point out, I think, is your one of the background is psychology?
NLP.
NLP.
Yes, neuro-linguistic programming, which is the connection or how the mind communicates with the body. How, you know,
yes.
And that's what I use.
I just want to let our listener know that that's why we are coming from that aspect.
Yeah. Now, you know what, and I can just, if I could just give this as a little note to understand NLP psychology a little bit. You know, from a body perspective, we learn from the five senses, you know, and if you want to understand what your major sense is and what you want to, if you want to understand what somebody else's major sense is, take them out to eat and watch when they pick up the menu. What sounds good means one of their major senses, the major sense they use is probably hearing. What do I feel like eating? Their major sense is probably how they feel. What sounds good or what looks good on the menu, their major sense is vision. What smells good, their major sense would be smelling. You know, you can tell by that. Just watch people have what looks good today, what sounds good today, what do I feel like eating, and things like that.
It's a whole body psychology, actually.
Yeah, it is. It really is. So, yeah, you can understand a lot.
Absolutely. So, Cheryl, so what is actually the purpose of the eighth day?
What is the purpose of the eighth day?
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of the eighth day is to begin. It's a new beginning. It is a new beginning and understanding where we are, who we are, and why we are here on this earth. It's a chance to start again with the spirit in charge, rather than the body being in charge, rather than the body ego being in charge. It's a chance to consciously learn to direct the spirit rather than using the body, directing the body with the consciousness, because the body is once again limited by what we believe. The spirit is not limited by what we believe.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, you know, this whole thing is what we are kind of experiencing, at least in the last 15 years or last 20 years, is also bringing the awareness. So that makes sense that we are slowly shifting into this awareness and bringing more the spirit instead to being, you know, body focused.
Absolutely. And, you know, because I've been doing this for so long, I was probably the one that I experimented the most on. And so what I would do would be I'd run up and hit a wall, run up and smash into the wall probably 20 or 30 or 40, 50 times until I figured out, well, this isn't working. So I'd try something else. So it was a continually trying something else until I... okay, this is working, this is what works for me. And so, you know, and I know that you are into astrology a lot, Magdalena, and I would say
yes,
that
I do.
You understand who you are astrologically, because who you are astrologically, your identity is, you don't have just a paper identity or the identity that was given to you.
You have an energetic signature. That's what I've worked when I do,
yes.
You know, astrology. I use energetic signature because every one of us has a special blueprint that we brought here with pro and coins.
Yes, absolutely. And that energetic, that is your, that energy is your spiritual identity. You can never lose it. although you're going to lose your paper identity because you're on a linear timeline, but the spiritual identity you're never ever going to lose, and you're going to take that information with you wherever you go in the universe. After you leave this linear timeline, it's just going to follow you. We use the body to learn with. We enter time, and as we understand and learn from time, what we do is we expand time until it becomes a season. And as that time expands and becomes a season, what happens is once the season is full, once the season is completely full of like a season of spring, it has birds, it has flowers, it has, you know, all of these other things.
It's cycling.
Yes, yeah. And once it has all of these things in it and the season is full, the season is complete. We are entering into a new season as we revolve, as the spirit revolves in time, we are entering into a new season. And this new season is going to be called a season of miracles. Isn't that cool?
That's amazing. But also, I just wanted to go back very shortly when we were talking about the aspect of astrology. I just wanted to let our listener know that, you know, a lot of people who are, you know, right now in a certain different movements, they are kind of using, you know, astrology and many other stuff and talking about the lay, you know, layover over your organic energy. I just wanted to let you know that what I like to use astrology for, to identify certain energies and blockages and then use that as a tool to move beyond, because we are actually embodying so many different energies. We are not just embodying astrology, we are embodying a chakra system, we are embodying the meridians, we are embodying so many other things, but we are even more than that, because you can come to the certain point where you don't need that anymore. And
yes.
I thank you. And I think, you know, it was very cute when you were saying, you know, you reached the point of healing you could actually resolve when you were 60, and then you corrected yourself, you were 40. I understand that the cycles of 20, they can be so precise that when you take one issue, it takes to resolve it. If you're doing just by your own, you know, you're not using any kind of tools or whatever, you're processing yourself, it takes 20 years, but it will be on such a precise time, it is amazing.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. Also, I think that it's also important to understand that when we resolve these issues from the past, we are actually collapsing the linear timeline.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. You're moving out. You are moving out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
What I recognized is that, you know, all those energies, they were going through me and they were transformed into a whole different energy system.
Yes. Yeah, that's the spirit. That is that higher energy or higher spiritual side or evidence of higher spiritual energy that has been practically ignored because we're so body obsessed.
This is actually leading me to the next question, but I'm actually kind of focusing there. Actually, two questions. One question would be, you know, in the last 20 or 25 years, everybody was always just kind of talking, well, you know, body, mind, and spirit. And nobody was talking about the soul. So I am not quite sure where is your input. How do you see the difference between the soul and the spirit? And what is your input about why people were using constantly body, mind, and spirit only? Is this still related to this linear concept?
You know, I haven't received much. I would like to say, well, yeah, I know everything about the soul, but I don't. I have not received a lot of information about the soul. I would say that possibly the soul is the embracing of the whole body, mind, and spirit. I mean, this is just coming off the top of my head.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's soul, okay. That's fine.
Yeah, the soul is coming. The soul is embracing the whole spirit, mind, and body at a higher level where, you know, from a from an ego or from the body level, it cannot embrace the soul. It has no, because soul to me is wholeness. The body does not embrace wholeness. It is fragmented in its, so fragmented in its understanding, it is impossible for it to embrace the soul. So, you know, like when I say, when somebody says, you know, that's my soulmate, you know,
good luck.
I have a little bit of, you know, that's chemistry.
Folks, please forgive me.
chemistry is not always a positive thing. You know, like if I learned in childhood that my mother needs to be beaten, you know, my dad beats my mom, and then all of a sudden I pick up that chemistry, I'm going to look for somebody who's going to beat me, you know, and when I look at them, I say, oh, yeah, that's chemistry. You know, and that's
But also what people don't recognize many times is that, yeah, that is very kind of attractive, you know, to hear, oh my God, I'm searching for my soulmate. But you have to also recognize when you're asking for the soulmates, you do not know what lesson that soulmate are bringing for you.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, everything is a learning experience. And it
absolutely
depends. I mean, rather than looking at it as being blame, you can say, well, this is a learning experience. What can I learn from it? Because there's always something there that you can learn. If you just throw it away and don't look at it, you're going to take it with you to the next person, and you're going to have to learn it from the next person. It doesn't matter, you know. No matter where you are, there you are. You know, no matter where you go, there you are. You know, you're wherever you are, you're going to take your stuff with you. So just the way it is.
I know. You know. It's very interesting. Okay, so how do we relate, how, you know, all these world changes, how they relate actually to the miracle alchemy?
Okay, I actually became involved in miracles because, you know, like I wanted to understand, I probably kind of wanted to understand miracles for a selfish reason. I wanted to understand something that nobody else understood. I wanted to understand what a miracle was. I wanted to understand because there's really
So what is a miracle, Cheryl? What's a miracle, actually?
A miracle is a change in perception. It is a new way of looking. In other words, this is the way I understand things from the body. Once I shift and make that tremendous shift and go into the spirit, I'm never going to go back to the body analysis again. I'm going to remain at that spiritual level. I'm going to stay focused in that conscious, higher spiritual level, so that's my change in perception. That is the miracle. The miracle is a shift of body into that higher spiritual conscious understanding. And once it's there, it doesn't flip-flop back and forth. That is the miracle perception. Alchemy, once that miracle perception has occurred, alchemy occurs as well, because there is a chemistry change at the body level. In other words, what happens in the brain is that the brain switches so that it is now attached to the spirit instead of attached to the body. Communication is coming from the higher spiritual level instead of from the lower body level, which is trying to redefine reality into what it believes or what we believe we understood from the past analysis, that information or understanding we gained in the past, which has nothing to do with reality at all.
But then at the same time, we will obviously then also shift our vocabulary.
Yes, we do shift our vocabulary. Yes, because it is it's a living language, but shifting our vocabulary, I perceive it means that the words that we are using are filled with integrity. They're not filled with deception.
Well, that's shifting.
Yeah, and they're emotionally honest. Although the words may sound exactly the same, they are filled with a lot more meaning and a lot more integrity than what they had from the ego body perspective.
Mm-hmm. So, and also, you know, I was picking up in your reading where you're saying that emotions need time. So how we will handle that then.
Okay, emotions, our emotions, it's a chemistry process because what, you know, like when we shift, when we're born in innocence, we don't have any idea what the body is and we really don't have any idea what the spirit is. We can go either way. And when we shift to the body, it's our emotions. Our emotions are tied to time. Our emotional body is also called the aura. So what happens is that these emotions that are in the aura, when they get tied up into the body, they begin to assimilate with body understanding. And because the body is under the control of the ego, the ego expresses these emotions destructively. So when we release these emotions to go back into the emotional body, that's what the miracle is. And so that's what the miracle is, so that it's also an alchemy process. I can tell you some you know, just let me give you one story of a woman that
Please
I
do.
Was working on when I was a massage therapist. She came in and she said, and it was kind of, it was, for a long time, people would come in and they would come in and see me one time. It was like, it was by divine appointment. And then I would never see them again. I never knew what happened to them. I just knew it by that divine appointment. But this girl came in and she had, she said, I came in here for a massage. She said, I have this problem, this physical problem, and my doctor told me to come in and get a massage and maybe it would help me. And I said, well, what is your problem? And she said, I have all of this pain in my female organs. She said, she was a young girl. She was probably in her late 20s or early 30s. She said, I have this physical pain going on in my female organs. But she said, I had them taken out, but the pain is still there. So I asked her, I said, were you sexually abused or sexually molested as a child? And she immediately started crying. And she said, when I was 12 years old, I went to live with my aunt. My aunt was having some health problems, and I went to live with her to help her. And she said, one day my aunt was not home, and my uncle raped me. And she said, I never told anybody about what happened. Well, because she never told anybody, that pain.
She was carrying the pain.
Yeah, she was carrying the pain. So that, you know, we never discussed the color of that pain. But when, you know, it was the idea that she finally let go and she finally told somebody so that that pain would be relieved. She would be relieved of that burden. Now, there was another gentleman that came in. He came in at the end of the day, and I was doing a massage on him. And he said, I've been going to a psychologist for a long time. My psychologist suggested that I come in and talk to a massage therapist. And I said, well, what is your problem? And he said, when I was a child, my father used to beat me all the time. And he said, I've just never been able to get over it. So I took him through some of the things that I do to help people move past this. And I asked him if his father was still alive, and he said no. And one of the techniques I ask the person, because we are still connected, whether the person passes over or whether they're still
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. It's an energetic connection, yes.
Yes, it's an energetic connection. So I asked him to bring his father to mind. Of course, I asked the NLP thing, you know, are you visual? If I told you to see your father, could you see him in your mind's eye? And he said yes. So I asked him to bring his father, you know, bring his father up in his mind's eye. And I said, is he there? And he said yes. And some people, and I said, you know, some people, they don't want, you know, they have a difficult time relating to the individual. So I asked them to bring in an angel and ask them if the angel is there. Will the, you know, and ask the angel if they will help them. and the angel was always going to help them. So, you know, this time he was able to communicate with his dad on his own. So I told him, I said, you know, you have a lot of emotional trauma and turmoil trapped in your body that you need to discuss. You need to tell your dad. You need to explain this turmoil to your dad and to tell him exactly how you feel. So he did. And when he did, I said, okay, are you ready? Are you willing to forgive your father? And he said, yes. And so when he forgave his father, I said, let me go back. I said, after he told his father everything that he needed to say, I said, now your father has something to say to you. Allow your father to say it to you now. So his father said something to him, and I always ask, what did your father say to you? And if it is something that is really derogatory, I know that it's not coming from the light. It's something from the ego. So I said, you know, what did your father say? And so it was something very kind. His father was sorry. He didn't mean to do that. He didn't know he was treated that way as a child. So I asked him if he was willing to forgive his father, and he said yes. So as he was laying there on the table, after a few minutes, he said to me, what does the color pink mean? And I said, the color pink it means love. Your father is sending you love from the grave. And I mean, that was just, to me, that was just mind-blowing.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You know, Cheryl, what I'm recognizing, and many people are recognizing us today, that in the 21st century, we need to upgrade our health system and the way we are actually dealing with the body. That I was just actually listening today afternoon to somebody actually from Germany who had an interview with somebody here, and he was saying using the pills and all this stuff, it's actually still a 19th century treatment. We have to kind of focus more, or adding, let's just maybe clarify more that, you know, we are actually in the age of information. And information is also unbelievable crucial in the healing, the body to the wholeness.
Absolutely. The education I received by, you know, helping other people is priceless. It's just priceless. So, absolutely. You know, I could never, you know, some of the things I learned from them, I mean, I would sit on a massage table with somebody, and we would both be just be sobbing because the release was so intense. I mean, I could feel it as well. It was like, you know, this innocence that was trapped in the body went home. You know, it was like this child, this inner child went home, and it's no longer trapped in the body because our innocence needs to be returned to heaven.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know what, when you start to work with a body, you are opening so many energetic channels that they are actually blocked. It's just mind-boggling. And sometimes it can be very overwhelming, actually, for both of them, for the client and for the practitioner.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know, it's really difficult not to become emotional when something like that is released that has been, I mean, I could actually see in some people that their physical appearance changed. So
absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It's just amazing. There's just a lot of information. I mean, there are lifetimes. I know that you have spent a lot of time in your life learning this. There are a lot of people.
Well, you know, yeah, I had to laugh when you were talking about the information. Yeah, I started maybe around 25, 30 years ago. We were not fortunate as, you know, people today. At the time, I didn't have that information. You know, I had to learn by myself. I didn't have the role models or not many people that, you know, could help me. You know, I mean, today you can go listen to radio shows, or you can, you know, listen so many, you know, informational highways, especially YouTube and stuff, and go to the internet. So, yeah. But, you know, it's okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
So for the finishing, Sharon, I would like to know, so how can we stay focused in this time of changes? What can we do?
I would say this, is that A lot of people out there are meditating, but they're not taking their meditation with them when they leave the house. They are reaching a seat of peace. But as soon as they step back into the body, the ego takes over again. So once they take over, but once the ego takes over again, they're right back into the same mess that they were before. The idea behind it is always is peace. And like I said in the beginning of the show, A Course in Miracles says peace is the state where love abides and seeks to share itself. You know, if we are peaceful, love is attempting to share itself with us. And there's nothing greater in the universe than love. So I would say stay focused as much as you can on love. And when you find yourself stepping off of that love or out of that love space, find your breath. Find your breath and use your breath, because your breath belongs to the spirit. It doesn't belong to the body. It belongs to the spirit. Breathe in and allow your breath to bring back your peace into your mind.
That's great. Yeah, that's very, very important that, you know, you kind of, you know, stay tuned into yourself the whole time, not just periodically. And actually, every time when you lose yourself, just kind of, you know, come back to your body, because there's so much stress and so much, you know, stuff that can actually distract you from, like, from your own true connection. Cheryl, I would like you to ask, because we have only a few more minutes left over, do you mind to let our listener know, you know, how they can get in touch with you and give us your information? You know, look like a website, social and stuff.
Sure. You can, my website is ontheeighthday.com, and that's not, that is the number 8, ontheeighthday.com. My email address is themiraclealchemist@gmail.com. And my phone number, if you would like to reach me by phone, you can call me at 863-325-3128. Leave a message and I will return your call.
And also, what would be your final closing actually for us? What do you want to, you know, give us? To hold on.
Hang on to your hat. Hang on to your hat. You know, this is what I've learned during this my journey is that being in the time spiral, there is safety. And anytime you step back onto the timeline where the body or the ego body is in control, there's going to be stress and turmoil, and there's going to be a lot of body anxiety. So once again, find your peace, find your inner space of peace. Always leave room for truth and find your inner space where that truth is, and step into that truth with your mind, with your breath, and continually do that over and focus on that. Do that over and over again until it becomes established in your mind, because you want your consciousness to understand where it can go for safety.
Yeah, that's hugely important. And Sharon, I just recognize what we Cheryl, what I recognize that we didn't have things time to talk about the living water frequency. If you can give us maybe in maybe a 60 second explanation.
The living water frequencies is something that I developed, that the information was given to me, the understanding was given to me how to develop this product. I didn't understand what it was for, and I'm beginning to understand now. It's to move conscious awareness out of the physical body into the emotional body. Every time you use the living water and you spray it into your emotional body, what you are doing is you are agreeing with your conscious understanding or your emotional understanding that mm-hmm. you want to bring your spirit back into focus rather than the body. Because the body, the ego body, doesn't have any idea what you're doing when you spray this living water into your emotional body.
And also, do you mind to give our listener about the website for that?
That's living water frequencies at livingwaterfrequencies.com. www.livingwaterfrequencies.com.
And also, before we forget that, you have your own radio show or you have a podcast because
yes,
people actually listen to you.
Yep, it's called On the Eighth Day. And right now it's being broadcast on the first and third Tuesday, 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I think that's it. Eastern at 6 o'clock. We hope to move it to so it is a weekly broadcast. So it will be called On the Eighth Day. Right now it's called The Miracle Response, but it will be called On the Eighth Day. It's on Real Revolution Radio. If anybody wants to look in to see any of the previous broadcasts.
Yeah, and they can actually learn more about your work and, you know, about your philosophy
yes.
and everything else.
Yes.
Well, listen, that was so amazing. Thank you so much. And I mean, that was just a you know, wealth of information. So I learned a lot about because, you know, I was reading your information, but it's always different, you know, when you have somebody connected directly through the air. And I really wanted to thank you for being on the show and sharing with us this great information. And thank you so much. And
thanks.
Folks, if you need more information, just go and check out on Cheryl. Actually, she's also on my website on the Conscious Thought with Leo. So thank you so much, Cheryl. Good night. And thank
Good
you,
night.
Everybody. Thanks. Thanks for
thank
being.
You.
Thanks for tuning in. Good night.